It was a joyous Saturday here on Splash Play, reuniting with my old pal Pete over to do a drunken draft and then a follow-up one on his channel. But today, it's a brand new day. Our last week of draft, seemingly in the big board, 94% filled right now. It's perhaps our last chance to get our favorite rookies pre-NFL draft. Let's figure it out here. Of course, I am already in a draft room, and Pete is streaming right now with Gretch, of course, from Ship Chasing, one of the most likable guys, I realize. He's about to do the show. I was thinking about it. I'm like, I think Gretch, the combo of information and likability, probably amongst the tops in the business. Those guys doing a stream right now. So just don't go watch it. Watch it after the fact if you can. But I think this room is filled for people trying to get into that room as well. So we do have some regulars, some people you've browbeaten recently. We'll move on here in the name of building a few more good teams. And hopefully this one will be a fun one. We are obviously in a good position for a zero RB team. And we're also following our guy, Neil Orfield. So luminaries in the draft room. We'll see if they make it kind on us today, or more likely, just difficult enough that I want to hang myself. We'll figure out in a moment here. But it is Monday, draft number 55 for me. New thumbnail, shortening it a little bit, not putting best ball in there. We'll see what that does. I don't know what it really matters. I am low on Tyreek right now. I'm also low on Bijan Robinson. I think I'm appropriate on Justin Jefferson. I'm going to grab Tyreek here in the four hole. Really, to me, I think I'd prefer him over Ja'Marr Chase. Might prefer Justin Jefferson holistically with Tyreek getting older. Tyreek also, we saw last year the downside with the injuries and all that. Obviously, that doesn't really matter to me in terms of how I view things across an entire portfolio. But if we are splitting hairs to try to choose who you should rank above the most, I think I kind of prefer the talent of Jefferson. Situation for Tyreek, probably a little bit better. Shout out to the chat, though. Appreciate all the guys watching live. Get them, Spags. We hope so. And what's good, fam? Fun stream this past weekend. Yes, it was a lot of fun catching up with Pete. Of course, definitely would recommend watching that one here. Recommend you watch every stream if you can, whether it's live or after the fact. But the one on Saturday was a good time, of course, where I got the premise slightly wrong. Didn't realize we were all writing down things on note cards, but we made our picks. We made it work. And I think we ended up building a pretty good team, at least based on some of the feedback and how it felt in the moment. And I then had enough of a hangover on Sunday that my stomach hurt the entire day. So that's what happens when you start going to town on 10% beers in the name of content. But it was a good time nonetheless. Love the best ball after dark. Nice to learn about your background more. Yes, thank you about that. Yeah, obviously I talk about, you know, real life work stuff here on this channel, but definitely different to basically be in more of an interview format of Pete asking me questions and also be getting to ask him some too, talking about dad life and all that. So if you aren't a paying member of Pete's channel, check that out as well. Hit the join button on Pete's channel and you get access, I think, with any tier to that particular one because Pete had accidentally set it as a free event. We are picking in the four spot here, so we're seeing what the turn happens. Guy in the thumbnail goes Jahmyr Gibbs. Really on the thumbnail, mostly because I didn't put him on enough thumbnails so far, and I'm out of guys. Like, I've used every wide receiver in the first round more than enough times, perhaps besides Garrett Wilson, who I actively don't like. But Jahmyr Gibbs goes at 12. I think that pick, to me, still one I've pointed out earlier on in the draft process. I think it's still a little bit lofty with what David Montgomery is going to bring to the table, which is still, at the very least, taking away touchdowns, taking away short yardage plays. Obviously, we saw Jahmyr Gibbs start to grab a little bit more towards the end of last year, but I would say to me, Jahmyr Gibbs, I have some reservations about still. Would rather have Kyren over him. I think that that's the one thing that, to me, is wrong about the first round. First round should be McCaffrey, Bijan, Breece, and Kyren right now. And then it's possible that Kyren comes down if we do have a rookie come in who could take some of the work away and actually have a credible case to do it. You have Zach Evans looming as well. I know people like Ronnie Rivers. I would say Zach Evans, the bigger risk, perhaps, if somebody's going to make a leap upwards in year two. But I would say for Kyren, I think he should still be a first-round back. I don't think it should be Jahmyr Gibbs. Can't believe you passed on Yoshua Stone. I think we drafted Yoshua, didn't we? Pete made me draft him. I had drafted more guys than Pete had said that that I'd allowed him to, because I started deferring pretty aggressively when he pointed out I was not deferring enough. But I think did we get Yoshua on that team? Let me check. Yeah, we got Yoshua. We got Yoshua and Luke McCaffrey. So those were both Pete picks that were ones that are not in my portfolio very often. I've talked about Yoshivis, though. Yoshivis, to me, was a better play if T. Higgins doesn't come back. Higgins is coming back. He's now said he's coming back. That's the expectation, so that's how it goes. A shout out to Ben here. Very nice chat. Grill yourself a steak on me this weekend, Spags. Appreciate all the content, even if we disagree a bunch on players. I didn't know we disagreed a bunch. Shout out, Ben. That is a very nice chat, and I appreciate that a ton. Thank you, Ben. Wow, people winning me over. You know, they always say being kind in chat, being a great community member, those things matter. Just give me money. I'll always hold that near and dear to my heart. We got Brandon Ayuk here, who I am low on. We've got Nico. We've got Stefon Diggs. Nico and Stefon have stabilized pretty close to one another. I have not gotten a lot of Ayuk. I think this is going to be my draft where I just get a bunch of guys that I am currently a little bit low on. Brandon Ayuk, come on down. Team so far, Tyreek and Brandon Ayuk, which I think is not unique at all. I think this is a very easy combo for teams to have hit. But I think that for me, it is unique because I just don't think I've grabbed this pairing, honestly, even once. Let's see. Yeah, Ben Harvard. I mean, he's a smart man, as you can tell by where he spends his money. But shout out to Ben. We got a lot of great Bens in chat. That is one of I think we have the strongest community of guys. We have the strongest community of Bens as well. And I'll put that up against anybody. Though tough today going against Ben Gretsch. Appreciate y'all have been active, like much like last season, but I was lost or like I was last, but I catch almost all the VODs. Yeah, look, I mean, that's the main thing is obviously I'm doing the streams here every Monday to Friday at 11 a.m., but I know people have jobs, people have lives going on, so you might be getting, you know, some things that you can't watch live, and I get that. If you watch after the fact, though, you're still valid to me. Honestly, it's a big part of why I always reply to comments, because I want those people to know, too. Like, we have great chat interaction, but I want people to watch after the fact to know that, like, hey, I pay attention, and I'm usually pretty timely with those replies. If you are regular, you know. Whenever I see the notification, I'm just like, fuck, I have to reply. That's how my brain works. That's why I don't post on Twitter. This is Neil's 150th big board. Shouts to Neil here. Neil's playing for keeps on his YouTube channel every day. And apparently in the big board as well. Not every day, but every week. And he's playing for keeps in this tournament too. That was a great plug. Debo here still makes sense. We're getting direct leverage on McCaffrey. I think it's, again, a chalky play for the most part. But I'll take Debo here, a few picks after ADP for the slight discount. Some of the sexier names, the more fun names. Our guy Christopher in the one hole definitely going to get the more fun name. And Malik Nabers, Debo, though, if we're going to make a bet on the Niners here, I think Debo's a fine one to make. And again, we're trying to make a bet against McCaffrey, so we're going to say week 17, the touchdowns flow more to the pass game. I think with this bet, we probably do want to make sure to take Brock Purdy, but I guess you don't have to. You could also just make a bet that in week 17, one of Debo, one of Ayuk goes off. And of course, throughout the year, they're still pretty good because the Niners are pretty good. Though Ayuk, big news item for him is that he did unfollow the Niners on Instagram, which famously you might recall, Debo Samuel, maybe the first guy to start this trend of you take the team off of everything, you unfollow him on social media when he was looking for his contract. Now Brandon Ayuk, same thing. And the reports are also Brandon Ayuk and his reps have not officially asked for a trade. Does that mean that they've requested one subtly? It definitely was a specific word choice. But Brandon Ayuk unfollowing the Niners, seeking a trade perhaps. We'll see. Oh, there we go. Comfort food for the ears. Thank you for that, Robert Griffin the Turd, our guy Ross. I don't know that my voice I find the most comforting, but I hope so. I mean, that was always the dream to make a show that you can that people can fall asleep to, because that's really where you make the big bucks for your YouTube account. I feel like anybody that's just leaving the channel on overnight, then the algorithm keeps feeding you more videos while you're sleeping and don't even realize, that's where the big bucks are made. That's why every channel now, if you guys notice, follow any gaming channels, follow any, honestly, really any content channels, big old compilations are the thing where they're trying to give you 1 to 2 to 3, sometimes 4 hour compilations things, especially in gaming, because they just want you to be getting that watch time up. Ideally, while going night-night. That's why I don't do a lot of shrieking, shrill noises. I don't want to wake you up if you're watching while you're sleeping. Unfollowed my employer, so I haven't gotten my 8-figure raise. I mean, it's a different game for real people, unfortunately. If you do that in real life, they're going to be like, why did you do that? That's our social media manager is going to be so sad. And then you've offended some poor 20-year-old girl who doesn't have has this job out of nepotism, perhaps. Or a 20-year-old of any gender could have the job out of nepotism, to be clear. Derrick Henry goes at 35. I think it's a more reasonable price. To me, if Jacobs and Henry were going more at the 3-4 turn, I would be there, I think, a little bit more reliably. I'd prefer Jacobs and Henry to Devontae Smith. I would prefer, this is a discount on DK Metcalf. Yeah, I think I would still be more okay with DK Metcalf and Tank Dell over Henry and Jacobs, but I think that range starts to make them a little bit more appealing to me. Because again, you are accounting for risk. As I've mentioned as well recently, the Packers have had a good amount of rookies coming in for top 30 visits. So even though AJ Dillon, I would say not the biggest threat to Josh Jacobs, though, could continue to inertia his way to getting, you know, 5 to 15 touches a game just because of the fact that, as somebody pointed out to me, a Green Bay local, AJ Dillon loved in Green Bay. And that was, I guess, a big part of why they brought him back. So maybe he could just keep doing the same bullshit at inefficient levels. Josh Jacobs, though, not the most efficient either. So that backfield going to be one of pure volume, but should still be good because of the fact the Packers are going to get the ball downfield. And frankly, they don't have any guys who are demanding the ball in the end zone. There isn't that vet there is going to be like, we have to go out of our way to feed. there isn't even anybody who's like crazy efficient. I think Christian Watson's pretty good. Jaden Reed showed a little bit. Romeo Doubs is kind of a big body that can do something. But nobody there is good enough that you have to like take red zone work away from Jacobs slash AJ Dillon slash whatever rookie. So that's how I feel about that backfield. Jacobs is going to be a good play just because of the volume, but his own talent, meh. All right, Romo Dunze goes. He would have been my pick here. As you guys know, though, I am still in the bag for Chicago. Don't mind Keenan Allen. I am low on James Cook. I'm just not taking Travis Etienne. I think we've talked enough about the reasons why there. They do want to take his work away. I can't. This is a definitely a vet-heavy wide receiver core. I have to admit that, but... and again, Pete was just getting railed. I was watching the stream while working out before this one. Pete was getting made fun of for taking all the old receivers, but I'm taking old receivers too. Zero RB build though. Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, the Timu version of Debo Samuel, Debo Samuel, Keenan Allen. Timu, by the way, very popular with boomers is what I was reading an article about. Apparently because they think things look really nice, don't have any eye for quality, don't know anecdotally that Timu is just rip-off stuff that is of lower quality and likely to fall apart, even though it looks cool online. So watch out for the boomer in your life because they are possibly suffering at the hands of Timu. Hit the like button. Yes, I agree. Hit that like button, guys. Again, drafts every Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. And I appreciate your support here. Of course, subscribe as well. Hit the like button. Leave a comment. All those things help out a bunch. And of course, help us build the community that makes us so strong here and brings me joy every day. And frankly, enough people now that I think it's worthwhile. I think we've got enough product market fit in terms of people watching and enjoying, getting joy. He was getting railed. That's true. That's why his view count is so high. He was just getting railed on a stream. He brought on Ben Gretsch, and it's just pure sodomy right away. That's how best ball breakfast goes. Best ball brunch, he took a cue from that. All right, we're on the clock here. Nothing the most exciting to me. I am a little bit team Joe Mixon, prefer Mixon at this point to Rashad White. Could go up and get AR. This is a little discount on Pickens, and I'm going to go Pickens' way here. I'm going extreme zero RB right now, I think. I've been very comfortable taking late wide receivers because of the fact that I do feel like I know the rookies better than the average bear and have some more comfort in how to manage those overall. But if I'm getting these guys here, you know, five top 50 picks, a couple at a slight discount, I think I'm okay with this build. I mean, really enough at a slight discount. This team might have gotten a hair more unique by just having, you know, four-pick value here, almost a five-pick value, two-pick value here, two-pick value here. And also, again, sticking with extreme zero RB, that inherently gets you off the beaten path. So I think we're in a good spot right now, and I'll give the team a read because I didn't do it from that. Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Keenan Allen, George Pickens is the team at wide receiver so far. So I hate saying it in these rooms because then it leads to me not getting the guy. Taking Brock Purdy would be very helpful for this build. Obviously, we got sniped on him, that we had to have somebody who could beat Brock Purdy. But I think with the bet on Debo and Ayuk and then trying to go into week 17 and hopefully have that Niners pass game stack going against the McCaffrey. And I would make the assumption that the chalk thing there is that McCaffrey has a usable regular season and then he's live in week 17 and, you know, maybe the Fields got him at 20%, 25%. That's how I like to play these things out in my head if we're trying to get the DFS portion of things, the tournament brain portion of things going. We are getting bonked for Pete getting railed. That's fair. I'll pull up the GIF. The bonk dog again, doesn't care if it's men getting railed, women. He shows up, he does the work regardless. Just like I do here on stream. More wide receivers Monday. That's true. We had zero RB Friday. More wide receivers Monday. Too many wide receivers Tuesday. What a bunch of wide receivers Wednesday. Thursday, tantalizing amounts of wide receivers. Hey, shout out Bindles here. We got five new members. I appreciate that. Bindles and Tyler single-handedly propping up my member count, but I do appreciate that. And shout out to everybody who gets membership. Yes. Say thank you, Bindles. Class, what do we say when Bindles shares memberships? We say thank you, Bindles. Thank you, Bindles. That's how all you guys saying it in parallel. This is my show. We talk about things that I enjoy. Obviously, we talk about football a lot here. We got a lot of picks to go for my next one. Bluey episode this weekend, guys. Longest Bluey episode ever. Made me cry. Made me tear up. So, highest recommendations. If you have a kid, if you have any sort of knowledge of the Bluey cinematic universe, check out the Bluey episode, The Sign. Good episode. I won't spoil it. Very moving, though. No pun intended, huh? For anybody who watched it. Thank you for your cock, Bindles. There we go. Bindles created work for me. I mean, look, he created work, but then I get, you know, like $25. Well, $25 gross. And then, you know, post-tax, yeah, YouTube takes half. YouTube really fucks you, but obviously, you know, that's the thing. Much easier to go through YouTube than some of the other channels out there. If you're big enough, there's like other platforms you can try to get your memberships and stuff through. But like Apple makes us the most money for probably. And it's like, unfortunately, you just got to pay the VIG on sites that are worth the VIG. YouTube is worth the VIG. App Store, worth the VIG. If anybody out there is trying to wrap their heads around stuff, that's how you do it. Happy tax railing day. That's true. It is tax day. I did mine in advance, thankfully. So I'm good to go there. We'll see when I get my returns, but excited for that tax-wise. TurboTax, I recommend. Plug today for TurboTax. I think it's been the easiest platform in a while. And frankly, worked out better for me than having a certified tax preparer because I had a tax preparer who at one point got me audited. So thumbs down on that. TurboTax, you know, knock on wood. We've been clean. All right, what is Jake going to do here? Probably something I don't want to see. That'd be my guess. Take Alvin Kamara. I wanted Brian Thomas. If Brian Thomas were my wide receiver 6, I think we would be cooking with gas right now. But instead, you're cooking with feces. We're cooking the big old dog shit in my mouth. We're going to take Jordan Addison here for some theoretical Justin Jefferson leverage. Again, we're trying to build this. This is a tournament-minded team where we are taking some leverage on Christian McCaffrey, taking some leverage on Justin Jefferson. No leverage on Jamar Chase. So we'll make the bet that for the umpteenth straight year, Cincinnati goes to shit. Somebody gets hurt. No, another website that might let you post for free. I don't know what we're talking about here. Ben, you are SPAC sugar daddy this week. I mean, I would hope I'm worth more than $100, but sure, I'll take it. I'll take it. Hey, Ben's been a regular for a while. All you regulars who pop in occasionally. You know, guys like Tyler and Bindles, I appreciate their support a bunch, but you know, they're doing it in smaller increments, which I think is just as valuable too. Was hoping Brock Bowers is coming back to me. He is not. Brock Bowers goes 74 to the guy with Mark Andrews, bully tight end, wreaking havoc upon me once again. Could take Christian Watson here and just dick everybody around. I'll make the bet on Aaron Jones. I keep kind of making bailout bets on Ty Chandler. We do have a little bit of Minnesota here, so we'll go for some correlation with Aaron Jones, who too old for sure, but you know, Ty Chandler, I think, will be in the mix. Still, the preference is going to be Aaron Jones. The biggest risk for an Aaron Jones is if they bring in Jonathan Brooks. He has visited them, so that's something that could be a concern. Any interest at all by the Vikings in another running back, it would make it tougher for Aaron Jones, but happy to have him end my zero RB run team so far. Aaron Jones here, again, got the bet on Minnesota, get him 5 picks after ADP. Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Keenan Allen, George Pickens, Jordan Addison, and that's the team. And the hope is that we have leverage on CMC with this Niner stack. We have leverage on Justin Jefferson for week 17 with Minnesota. We have Tyreek, who's good. Hopefully Keenan Allen. You guys know I have my bet on Chicago. Oh, a dirty website joke. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. Pornhub, I'm sure. The Pornhub, yeah, you can charge people for paywalling things, I guess. So that's a benefit. I don't know if you're getting super chats on Pornhub, though. Bowers visiting the Jets today. I don't know if you mentioned, I did not mention it's today, but I've mentioned that it's coming. That'll be a second top 30 visit. So he's visited the Bears. He's visited the Jets. Everybody else, I guess, just operating off of the game film and know-how, whatever data they have. Brock, though, didn't test the Georgia, so that was something that the people who have their models and use analytics profile, or athletics profiles as part of the models, does seem like those guys very annoyed about not being able to complete the thing that they put into their database and try to see what the comps are for Brock Bowers. So we don't have athletic comps for him. I still would be pretty comfortable with him. I think you can't produce as well as he did at Georgia playing SEC competition since year one, since his freshman year. You can't be doing all those things without being a good enough athlete, and frankly, anything, even if you weren't a good enough athlete, I guess the one cause for concern is that him not doing it is like, why don't you just show us then? But he and Harrison maybe taking different approaches. Could be kind of a dicey thing for future years, honestly, where if top picks are going to start not testing athletically at all, I get the logic. I get why for them. It cuts your risk. It's another thing to not get chided about on social media or nitpicked over. But it is kind of weird to have got like top guys sitting out without an injury, especially. But, you know, might be the new world. If I were to make up a 40 time for him based on film and practice, 4.52, for what it's worth, normally I wouldn't pull up a chat like this and give it much credence, but Adam did get Ladd McConkey's time pretty close, and I think not a lot of people would have thought that Ladd McConkey was going to be in the Tank Dell range. It's actually better than Tank, I think, speed-wise. So, so Adam, maybe take that to the bank. 4-5, you know, that's no issue there. I would be curious to see it with his size. Obviously, the RAS does account for the size as well in terms of how fast you perform at everything, but we'll never know. No point worrying about it now. It's not making his ADP come down, as we saw. Would have really loved getting Brock Bowers at 76. I think that would have put this team into like one of my favorites territory, but it's okay. All right, we're on the clock here. So again, we have these micro, you know what? This actually is an interesting pocket. All right. Got to think I'm getting one of these guys back. I have to lock down Brock Purdy because no disrespect to our guy, Christopher. Glad he's in a draft room. I'm not really, but happy to see him in a draft room again because I do appreciate him. With him having McCaffrey, I just don't trust that he won't take Brock Purdy too. So unfortunately, I have to protect myself from people who in the past I know have maybe gone a little outside of the boundaries of what you expect when you're trying to push guys around a turn. So we take Brock Purdy here to complete our Niners duo. As we always talk about here, Brock Purdy more valuable to me than anybody else in the room. So we're going to make sure we get him. And we'll get something back at running back that I think will correlate, but we'll figure it out. All right, so he takes DeAndre Swift, who is what I was thinking about. I was thinking one of the Pittsburgh running backs or DeAndre Swift, trying to correlate with my bet on Chicago, but we will not get that. Brian Robinson Jr., another pick that, of course, appropriate price there. Should be going ahead of Austin Eckler. Now more reliably is doing so. So been on that one early. I think that edge just kind of dried up a little bit. So ADP-wise, you know, still there on paper. Brock thinks Ted Cruz's dad killed JFK. The Jets will trade up for him. I hope so. I hope that works out for him. I hope Brock Bowers goes to the Jets and is great, I guess, because I have enough Brock Bowers that whatever outcome he's going to get, I have to be happy with. If it's the Bears, I have to be happy with that. If it's the Jets, I have to be happy with that. So I will figure it out. Would have liked to have gotten Jaylen Warren to correlate with George Pickens here. So we lost out on Swift, lost out on Jaylen Warren. I can finish at QB. And I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Caleb here. I like a Brock Purdy, Caleb team. As I've talked about enough times on here, I think two is kind of a bust pick to me. I just really don't want a lot of exposure there. If he's going at a very cheap ADP, I'll take him here and there. I don't think he has the ceiling to win you week 17, unless Miami's going off in a way that it seems less likely they're going to be able to do that in upcoming years. I just think that when things get tight, I don't want Tua, really is how I feel about it. In the playoffs, I don't want Tua. When I need big points in a given week, I don't want Tua. Over the course of a season, I think he can give you enough 15 to 20 point games. He's not going to kill you. In terms of just giving you a floor week to week, especially when that correlates to the high octane Miami offense. But I would rather have Caleb. I think Caleb gives me more rushing upside from day one. I think there's a higher ceiling there from day one because of the fact that Caleb is going to run five times a game, I think, if not five to seven times a game. So for him, right away, he comes into me. He's got to have as good of an offense as Miami. So that's the point that people can point a flaw in, and I'm happy to. I think that's a correct point to make. But I think for me, I'd rather have Caleb with my Keenan Allen bet. Green, no, Tua, Herbert's hard to draft as well. Yeah, that's the same thing. I took Herbert last week, and when I had the bet on Marvin Harrison and neighbors, I had the bet on one of those guys at least. And it's like, okay, I'm getting Herbert 10 to 15 picks after ADP. Like that's where it makes a little bit more sense. Or if you're just blocked out at QB, that's where it makes a little bit more sense. But, you know, it's still not a thing I'm the most cozy with. I think really evaluating your QB upside was a big lesson for me last year, where I never believed that Kenny Pickett was going to be able to make a full leap in terms of being a guy that's going to throw for 300 yards. But I thought him giving me 15-point games and then maybe occasionally giving me 20 would be enough. And it just like the ceiling wasn't there for him as a player. And I should have kind of identified that based off the stuff I look at. But it was expecting Pittsburgh to make a leap that they didn't make. So if they did make the leap, I guess that would change how I'm viewing it. So that's maybe a flaw in my process, but I just don't want to take guys that I feel like can't beat Josh Allen in week 17. And to me, Caleb and Brock Purdy can beat Josh Allen in week 17. Especially for Brock, if Debo or Ayuk or both are hitting, like Brock is going to have a real good shot to beat Josh Allen. And for Caleb, I think Caleb can be there week to week. I think he's CJ Stroud a little bit more mobility and a little bit less control, a little bit less of a traditional trustworthy pocket passer like I've thought Stroud was from day one. For Caleb, I think that he's going to play a little bit out of system. And the hope is that having DJ Moore there, having having Keenan Allen there, having Cole Kmet slash maybe Cole Kmet and Brock Bowers there, having Swift there, the hope is that that all, having those vessels, keeps Caleb Williams under control, is how I think they're building this team. That's how I feel about it. Come and love, my brother got in this room by accident. Okay, that's fair. I think if you're going in a room at 10:55 to 11, you've got a good shot at getting in my room, I think is the main thing. 2160, Brock Purdy, Caleb. Not my favorite pocket in the world. I have been team Chase Brown over Zach Moss enough, but I am going to take Zach Moss here just to get some exposure. And I feel like this draft, I've been playing against my biases a little bit more, so we'll see what happens on these two picks. We got to get going at tight end at some point, but obviously I'm happy to dwell in the world of late tight ends as always. If you enjoy UFC, I think it's probably the most fun sport to sweat. I enjoy UFC DFS. I've had a good time with that in the past. I think for, in general, I didn't watch 300. Obviously, we were doing the stream for part of the prelims, and then I just didn't put on the card. It being so late on the East Coast, like, throws me for a loop where I really don't want to be up till 1 a.m., 2 a.m., like, watching the things, and especially for, like, the best part of it, I don't have to be up that late. And I'm normally someone that's up, like, you know, going to bed, like, 12 to 1. But for me, it's like I can't keep my attention span that late at night. So that's the biggest flaw for me with UFC. But I enjoy UFC a lot. I think it's also one of few sports too, where if you do the work, if you crunch the numbers a little bit, if you watch the pre-fight weigh-ins, especially during COVID, I think there were some advantages there. Like I won an MMA tournament. It was like a split one. So it wasn't like a huge prize, but I'd won one of the big ones during COVID because I just kind of did a little bit of legwork, put together a data sheet. UFCstats.com, great website to track those numbers. Got a 2260 here. Some picks we like on the board, but obviously Troy Franklin, not a player for me necessarily here. Troy Franklin goes to Neil anyway, so that's a safe one. I have been low on Gus. Pete made me take Gus on Saturday. I think Gus, to me, the most replaceable part of anything that you're going to do in free agency, but he did get the money from the Chargers. We do know the Chargers want to be a power-running team. We do assume that even if they're not a high-scoring team, they're probably scoring a lot of their touchdowns through the run. So for Gus, I could see getting there. You're probably not getting when you got in Baltimore last year. I think you're kind of more likely to get the Jamal Williams to New Orleans rather than the Jamal Williams that was in Detroit. But obviously, we just need running backs. We need to make up volume at the positions. That's why Gus goes here. UFC 300 was a fun watch. Yeah, I mean, it sounded like a good card. I think all the fights seemed good. I did see some snippets of the BMF fight and all that. I think for me, I still am a star power guy. It's really one of my biggest brain blockers with, you know, WWE versus AEW, where, you know, WWE makes their guys look like big fucking deals. UFC, you know, does make a lot of their guys look like big fucking deals. But right now, like, they don't have as many draws, and like the guys they have are draws or over the hill. And like John Jones, just another disastrous thing for him, threatening to kill somebody, coming to give him a blood test or a urine test for the anti-doping agency that they're working with now. I don't know. Like, I think that's my biggest flaw. When UFC is cooking for me, it's like they have a bunch of stars, a bunch of top headliners. I still enjoy good fights, but I am like a sheep with that, where I'll go out of my way for like high draw. Like I watched Caitlin Clark. Like I was, you know, I do fall for those cultural things a little bit more. Cause my time is also kind of limited in terms of what I'm doing. I watch too much wrestling. So to be able to watch everything in the world. Did I start / binge FOD? I have not done it yet. I do think that I would like to start doing it, but we watch How I Met Your Mother and we watch Shogun. So that's been a thing. We had to finish Curb this week, but I think at some point we're going to start Fallout, but it'll probably be like a one episode a night kind of pace. But we caught up on, what did we catch up on yesterday? I caught up actually on X-Men 97, which is a little bit of a dorky thing, but fucking wild show. Reddit got me to finally check that one out, but on Disney Plus, basically not a reboot, but like a continuation of the X-Men animated show from, if you were in my generation, the late 90s, whatever, mid 90s. That was on Fox for me. But now they're doing that thing. And boy, that show fucking wild for an animated show. Probably one of the more interesting Marvel projects I've seen in a while. But yeah, Fallout, I will watch at some point, but I've not gotten there. I've already getting spoiled on Fallout, to be honest, but I never played the game. So not the highest priority. X-Men 97 is great. Definitely creative storytelling for sure. 22% ROI betting UFC on over 500 bets last year for me. It makes it a lot more fun to watch. Yeah, I know we've had some success for, you know, the probably data. I don't promote MMA that much because there's only so many bets you have in a given week that are plus EV. Like the prop markets are not good enough, and I don't think the probability data would be that good either. But yeah, in general for UFC, it's like you'll find plus EV bets that are like plus 500, plus 600, plus 700. And, you know, they, how often are they hitting? They're probably hitting in line with the probability, which would be, you know, 10 to 20% for the most part. But I think there's enough out there where, yeah, betting underdogs, UFC, you're probably the most alive. Underdogs, you know, short fights, under one and a half, under half a round, whatever. Not under half a round. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm hearing about the last couple of days is Bluey and X-Men 97. Look, that's these are both near and dear to my heart. But yeah, the Bluey episode, I would say, like, really emotional for a fucking kids show. They did a good job paying off some stuff with Bluey. And X-Men 97, again, big creative swings in what they're doing. I would say I'll spoil what they're just killing off people. I won't say who they're doing with, but killing off people you do not expect to be killed off, which, you know, for something that feels like a cash-in, a brave creative choice. 2-3-5-1 here. Keon Coleman, wide receiver people take. Not my guy. Jerome Ford, though, is a guy that I like here to bail me out at running back. We're going to do it again. Jerome Ford added to my 2-4-6-0 build. Brock Purdy and Caleb Williams at QB. Running back, Aaron Jones, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, Jerome Ford. Maybe luck into some correlation with Zach Moss and Jerome Ford for week 17, but probably not. Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Keenan Allen. So we have our stacks going with Niners and with Chicago. We have George Pickens and Jordan Addison as well. That's where we are right now. Cole Kmet, by the way, go see Pickle Rick here, so he will not be our tight end bailout. I presume this guy, just based on what I know of drafters, I think he took Cole Kmet because he wanted Kittle with Purdy, and instead he took my tight end. Even if he didn't do that personally, I think that's just how the psychology of drafters sometimes works on underdog, because I don't know why you take Cole Kmet at 132 otherwise. See what Neil does here. He took Keon Coleman. He took the Keon Coleman bait. Good lockdown. Is there enough production in Minnesota that Ty Chandler and Aaron Jones can get there? Probably not. I think this is a Marshawn Lloyd spot for me. Your Marshawn Lloyd. Yes, now I've been in the bag for him since day one. Now his price tag certainly come up enough where I'm taking him to pick 148, but shiftiest back in the class right now. Good size as well. Good RAS testing. So for him, he is a guy that we can trust, hopefully, in this rookie class where there are not a lot of guys who can trust a running back. Team so far, Brock Purdy and Caleb Williams at QB. Running back, we have now gotten to 5. Aaron Jones, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, Jerome Ford, Marshawn Lloyd. Kind of thin assumption of volume, guys, here is what I honestly for these top three. Though Aaron Jones, we know a little bit more talented. But I think that's we're going to get production at running back. Is it going to be ceiling production? That's an issue, a question I would have. Wide receiver, we have Tyreek, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Keenan Allen, George Pickens, and Jordan Addison. And we got to really make it up at tight end late, which is not a surprise. Comfortable doing it, but going to have to do it. It's Bluey. Bluey's 6 years old, so Bluey is not pregnant, unfortunately. Thank you, Dylan, here at Daily Comment 4. Oh, I also got to spin the wheel today. Let me start to set that up in the background because we have to determine who's going to be the guest host of Splash Play this month. I actually have to book him. So let me pull up while we're doing this stuff. You guys have the correct screen going. Let me make sure to get all the App Store reviews in because we did get a few more for you guys. And of course, if you want to enter to win a guest hosting spot, all you have to do is leave 5 stars and a review for my app, probably on the App Store. I will leave it in the pinned comments. But basically, we will spin the wheel on a semi-monthly basis. It's just a monthly basis. And then we'll pick a guest host. We got Mathology. We got Bindles. We got, well, Chunk is not going to win again. So Chunk cannot go in. I don't think this person is in the community, Artillery Frost. So he won't count. And we got Adam, Bobby Fairways. So it is a 3-man draw today. So again, if you ever want to host a moderately watched, decently enjoyed stream, you got a good shot here to get in before the getting is good, I would say. This is probably going to be the easiest chance for somebody to win. It's going to be right now. Because I think in May, June, July, we'll actually get a few more people who are going to be really weird about wanting to be in every draft. You know, I did see you left a comment too. That's right. The App Store comments are weird. Sometimes they disappear, but I did see you leave one before. You know what? I missed it on the screen. That's my bad. Robert Griffin III, a 4-man draw. Okay. Thank you for telling me that. That's entirely on me. All right. We got a 4-man draw ready to go in a little bit. Isn't Bluey a dog? Yes, Bluey is a dog. Bluey is a blue heeler, an Australian blue heeler. Cute dogs. And then here's a fun fact, guys. If you're not a Bluey fan, their last name in the show, Healer. Get it? Because they're healer dogs. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. I don't think they have to have sex with each other to be on the wheel, for what it's worth. Braylon Allen goes to Hawkburg here. Our guy Jeff T, who I believe not in the chat today, too busy doing things in Nairobi or Kenya. I think that's the same thing. Braylon Allen, a pick that he's put me on a little bit. Braylon Allen probably going to get, I mean, he's got a shot to get a good outcome. I still think the talent is iffy to me, but the size linked a lot with Dallas. I think if Dallas doesn't get Benson, doesn't get Brooks, Braylon Allen probably their pick would be the assumption. What are we going to do at tight end? What are we going to do in life? What are we going to do at tight end? Questions you have to ask. I see an interesting thing that I could attempt. Is that a ha-ha or a tee-hee-hee? Wait, I definitely don't like tee-hee-hees. I don't like hee-hees. I don't like tee-hees. I think Drake May is a nice pick at this point. I'm going to take Drake May. Not going to elaborate more upon it for now. But a 3-5-6-0 here. We got Brock Purdy, Caleb Williams, Drake May. Maybe the two top QBs off the board. Probably not, though. Probably two of the top three would be my guess. Aaron Jones, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, Jerome Ford, Marshawn Lloyd at running back. Wide receiver, we got Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Keenan Allen, George Pickens, and Jordan Addison. And we will see what we get on the way back. As our guy Christopher, somehow always in my head. We'll take the players that I find alluring. Tyler Allgeier not in on this year, so that's a good one. DeMario Douglas, good old Pop Douglas. Got to think he's moving down the depth chart in New England, but it's New England, and if they don't draft anybody good at wide receiver, they're going to be stuck with that same bullshit for possibly poor Drake May. Oh, no, sniped on your May stack. Sorry. I'm sorry, Neil. You got Deshaun Watson. You know, the good news, Neil, is you got one of the great guys to root for as a consolation prize. You were setting up Dotson, I would assume. All right, so this is why I took Drake May. I wanted to get the Drake May Hunter Henry correlation, which I've been on for a while, but I need tight end to work, and Drake May being almost 20 picks after ADP is what got me there. So the team so far is a 3-5-6-1. We hopefully have a Drake May, Hunter Henry correlation. Still possible that Drake May goes to Washington, though it does seem like Jaden Daniels more solidified in every report. Adam Schefter has speculated Jaden Daniels going to Washington, or has heard supposedly from people on the team that Jaden Daniels is going there. I've thought that the entire time, that it's Caleb Daniels, Drake May slash McCarthy. But McCarthy coming into pick three would be the one thing that could upset this. But I think New England's going to take Drake May. So we get Brock, Caleb, and Drake May. Aaron Jones, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, Jerome Ford, Marshawn Lloyd. Wide receiver, we have Tyreek with the same six we started with. Tyreek, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Keenan Allen, George Pickens, and Jordan Addison. And a tight end, Hunter Henry, to correlate with that Drake May. Hopefully. Got to take some juju with May. I'd rather have Kendrick Bourne, I guess. I don't know how great I feel that either, but I'd rather have Kendrick Bourne. Juju doesn't even get drafted at this point, does he? I feel like I haven't seen him go in a room in a while. Pick 239.8 right now, ADP, so he's usually not getting drafted. Quite the fall from grace / non-grace for Juju. I'd rather have Juju Watkins. I'd rather go to the world of college basketball. Another proud USC, not an alum yet, but probably going to be one very soon. Juju Watkins, the better Juju, which is sad because Juju is also a USC guy, and now he's not even the best Juju at USC. Tough scene. Juju flashed his meat. Oh, boy, I missed that one. Dotson, four potential QBs there. Okay, thank you for not trying to get me canceled. You know, Dotson, I think, certainly live to be back in the hunt, especially with Jaden Daniels being as good, hopefully, as I think he'll be. But Dotson also, maybe the risk point is that I worry about just like a Ladd McConkey going there, because that's going to make Dotson hurt pretty bad. It'll hurt McLaurin to some extent too, but at least McLaurin going to be fast enough to get downfield still, you'd hope. But I think for Dotson, I'm least into the Dotson-Jaden Daniels combo, but I get trying to get it at this point. Or, you know, Dotson-Drake May potentially. But I think Dotson-Jaden Daniels is the more likely outcome. Just not a Jaden Daniels guy is the issue for him. He's going to be doing poor man's Bleak Neighbors bullshit for the most poor man's Bleak Neighbors bullshit for Jaden Daniels. Or did you accidentally? All right, so this is now the whole thing. Are we talking like Jamal Murray style where he showed it as some young lass was giving him, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what a fun turn of phrase. Giving him the old what for? Giving him kisses? Is that it? Or are you just flashing it because like he's doing a vertical leap and it popped out of his shorts? These are the questions we have to know when we're trying to analyze how a wide receiver dick leaks can affect ADPs. And also, you know, a leaking dick could theoretically affect his ADPs. Was kind of hoping that Antonio Gibson would come back all the way around. Don't think that was a reasonable expectation, though, but would have been a nice RB6 to have with the New England Drake May bet. Snapchat by accident, suppose. Oh, so just like sending one out. Doesn't he has like a girlfriend too that he posts all the time and is like, I'm not gonna tag her. Ha ha ha. So hopefully that one was going to the girlfriend for his sake. Gotta tell you though, if you are an athlete in New England, I don't know that he's probably not living there this time of year, I would think, but I know from my Barstool days, hey, like it was good enough for me as somebody that just has the mildest of internet fame working at Barstool. Like I was able to clean up in the New England area from New York as well. Like I was able to import, which I guess you shouldn't say that because is that sex trafficking? So I wasn't importing them. They just happened to be in New York. But yeah, for an athlete in New England, it's like the cult there of fucking jocking and also like them all just like passing the athletes around and the athletes passing the girls around. New England is like a very fucking weird place. So. Juju having a tough time. Juju can't catch a ball, so he's applying to P-Hub via Snapchat. Look, I hope he presented well, I guess. Juju Watkins going to be there for a minute because women can't leave college. Oh, they can't at all? They can't, like, jump after... I thought they at least had a couple years. That sucks. But I guess, honestly, for her, you know, NIL money going to play good for at least the next few years, you would think. All right, we have a 3-5-6-1 here. I don't say we need, but I would like to get another running back. Definitely need a few more tight ends. Big time need of a few tight ends. Are we playing for week 17? I think I still need early production on this team too. Keaton Mitchell, more talented. Miles Sanders, more likely to have a shot to earn a role. I am going to take Keaton Mitchell here. I just think, we'll see. That'll be our sixth running back off the board. Need at least two more tight ends. Honestly, might be a four tight end build, really, with Hunter Henry being my tight end one. We'll figure that out. The NIL makes women's college basketball more profitable than WNBA, which doesn't even make sense. Like why don't they just advertise with the best professional athletes? The WNBA, like already, you know, kind of shooting themselves in the foot with how they're approaching Caitlin Clark, where very territorial by some of the players in the WNBA, Diana Taurasi, most noteworthy about her kind of saying, oh, well, let's see how she does with grown women and all that. Also, I was hoping Miles Sanders would come back. But once again, my guy, Christopher, he scoops them all up. Any player I'm trying to push back to me, he's going to get them. Don't worry about it. But for the women in the WNBA, it's still straight, like it's advertising money that you're getting in college. So at a certain point, I think that levels out. But the WNBA has to capitalize and frankly program things better and social things better. And I don't know. They can't blow getting Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in one swoop. That'd be pretty big faux pas on their end. We have a 3-6-6-1 here. We got a micro bet on Cincinnati, and we were trying to basically say, you know, somebody besides Jamar Chase is going to score touchdowns week 17. For right now, that's Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki, the hope if you're drafting him right now is that he's a better version of what Tanner Hudson did last year, where Hudson, a lot more targets than you would think. Hudson as well, analytically, 0.14 EPA per target, 23% target per out run. So when he was running a route out there, was he targeted more than Higgins? Higgins was targeted 21% of the time when he was running a route last year. What about Chase? Somebody guys with the first name Chase. I'm trying to find Jamar. All right. Jamar Chase, 25%. So theoretically, the tight end role for Cincinnati could be the number two receiver role, especially with Higgins. You know, some potential of malcontent stuff for him where he didn't even want to play down the stretch last year. Obviously, was, you know, going into a contract situation, so you get why. But him being on this franchise tag, it's possible the tight end role in Cincinnati ends up very valuable, but obviously it might not be for Gesicki if they have Brock Bowers follow them somehow, or they trade up and get Brock Bowers. Gesicki's, I would say, pretty much dead. But for right now, you make the bet on Gesicki, I think. Strauss is misrepresented. Wasn't a negative comment from what I heard. I listened to the whole thing. I mean, she was just saying that it's going to be tougher competition, but she's also made like shitty remarks about other rookies coming in. So I kind of think that's just the vibe. And I think too, you know, women, I would say women athletes seem to have a tougher time yielding to people who are like doing much better than them, like in terms of the perception, the markets, the whatever the case may be, like them, you know. So I think that's the weird part. Because a lot of these women, too, you got to remember, women who are in the WNBA right now, like Taurasi had to go to Russia to make her money for a while. Like, they're not going to be, they're going to be a little resentful of somebody coming in. Caitlin Clark was making yacht money, like rented her team a yacht at one point for Yacht Week in the Czech Republic. Like, they weren't making that money. They had to go and do the equivalent of like minor league baseball, being on buses and shit, being on commercial flights. And so I think it's going to be, might be a little bit of a rude welcome for the ladies coming in. I think they're a little, they probably think they're spoiled, which is the fucking generational thing. Basketball is the worst thought stuff though, where it's like all the old generation, they're always like, oh, these new guys can't hack it. It's like, oh God. I think Caitlin Clark's gonna be able to hack it. I do think though, she's gonna find a lot more women who are like the one who's defending her in the title game from South Carolina, where it's like, you're just going Artest style, aggressive kind of defense. She still got her shots up, though. She got her 30 points. Alton also played out of the backfield. I mean, it's more just the usage pattern. He was being used like an H-back, but I think that Gesicki would be a similar player. He's a better pass catcher than Hudson. I don't think that's a hot take or anything. The last year, Gesicki was probably a negative EPA player. A negative 0.2 EPA last year, 15.5% target route run. You're buying in on the historical Gesicki, just what he represented as a pass catcher. But he definitely, yeah, he could be a little bit weaker than it might seem. Maybe have some vestigial love for Gesicki, like I've talked about. People have for Antonio Gibson, people have for Marquise Brown. Maybe Gesicki has that too, because he was once good. All right, 3662 here. Okay, we need more tight end, but we don't need to necessarily do that right now, especially now that Noah Fant's gone. Would have been happy to take Noah Fant as a tight end three. New England, really nothing to bet on there. I don't want Zeke. I'm still a Tank Bigsby better. I'm willing to go here. Maybe you can make the case that Dylan Labe is more valuable than Tank at this point, but we know where Tank is. We know he's on a team that wants to give the lead back less touches. And we know they gave Tank a shot last year that he blew aggressively, but they're going to seemingly give him a shot again. So I'm always willing to make a bet on a guy who's going to have a shot. Let me give the team a read here if we get through the turn. 3-7-6-2 here. Brock Purdy, Caleb Williams, Drake May. So we did seven running backs because I don't feel like the room. I don't think we got enough draft capital early on, basically. So I went Aaron Jones, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, Jerome Ford, Marshawn Lloyd, Keaton Mitchell, who of course we're not going to have for the first 8 weeks of the season, if not a little bit more. Tank Bigsby, I already got enough in that bet. At wide receiver, we got an extreme zero RB. Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Keenan Allen, George Pickens, and Jordan Addison. And a tight end, Hunter Henry, Mike Gesicki. We definitely need at least one more tight end. I do have one in mind. I don't know that I need to take him this round. All right, let's see what's coming up here. Some good chats as well to talk about, but I gotta get this pick in. All right, Kenneth Gainwell, he goes. All right, I think there's two tight ends I want to take in these final two rounds. I'm taking the first one here. You guys know I'm in the bag for him. Ben Sennett, come on down. Tight end three. So he'll be added to Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki. Gesicki, I think the most fragile tight end. Henry getting another deal in New England. We also think New England, much like Washington, getting a pretty big QB upgrade. So I like the bet on Hunter Henry. I'm okay on the bet for Mike Gesicki. And Ben Sinnott likely to be getting day two draft capital, maybe a shot of day three, but I think he's going to get into day two. So that's going to be our third tight end. And I think I'm going to go to four tight ends here, but I'm not going to tell you who the fourth tight end is yet. Isaiah Davis. I'm not in on any of these guys. I was hearing on Pete's stream that apparently Davis Maddock has like 80% Jalen McMillan or one of the guys. It's like, I don't think I want a ton of anybody at this point besides Brandon Rice. Like, that's the one bet I'm making. So I guess I have my guy. But I just think it's one of these classes. Johnny Wilson, by the way, Johnny Wilson at 202 to raise it, or 209 to raise it rather. Good video by Underdog. Johnny Wilson, I've been in on and have not drafted enough of despite liking the profile because everybody else spooked me off. And Johnny Wilson's going to come up enough because of that Underdog video. They were basically hyping him up like he might be a unicorn in the NBA style because of his size, because of his production. Some flaws pointed out by Josh Norris as well, that he doesn't track the ball well. There are sometimes he looks like a deer in the headlights when a ball's coming at him, especially earlier in his career. But that's the part that I sometimes miss with my analytics, that I don't see stuff like that. I just see the overall performance. So a missed catch, a bobbled catch, or whatever the case may be, that's the same as like a negative play for me no matter what. So how the play is negative, I don't really care about as much. But for guys who watch film like Josh Norris, like I think seeing some things like him maybe being out of his depth in terms of what to do with a QB throwing the ball at him will spook you more. But the analytics for Johnny Wilson, again, infinitely better than Keon Coleman. He's got the size. He's not a tight end. He's not a tight end. Ben said it, first tight end off the board next week. Yeah, no shot on that one, but I think he's number two. I think he's number two. Probably more about having easier, doing better, according to my grandmother. And here's the chat I want to read before. Really is a messed up sociological contract. People get pissy for the new generation doing better than them. I mean, the weird part that we're running into right now, like in the U.S., is that, you know, Gen Z is like suffering in terms of their career options. Millennials too, like we haven't had the ability to save as much because of just what the economy is. I know for me, like I had to pay fucking broker's fees, like moving to New York, and granted, I didn't promote it optimally or approach it optimally. But still, like I was just doing what you do in New York. You move every year. So for me, like, you know, I got this house and it's like, then the fucking house costs come out where I have nowhere near enough saved, and launching a startup doesn't help either. Nowhere near enough saved for what I should have as somebody in my late 30s. So, you know, I think that we're all getting fucked by it, but I worry for Gen Z. I think Gen Alpha will figure it out by then enough, and boomers will be dead. So there'll be more wealth entering, but probably more concentration of wealth too, which will be a gross thing to navigate in America. Learning too much of Nia Smith. Again, I've gone over my takes. I just really think I just don't believe in squinting your eyes for all these guys, really the main thing, but I've kind of beaten that drum enough. So my picks that I'm thinking about here, I think Josh Oliver is an interesting pick because of the fact that people aren't taking him. He's going to be the starter for at least half the year in Minnesota. So if we're making a Minnesota bet, we could also make the bet that Hockenson doesn't come back full go. We do have three tight ends though, and we can make one more bet on New England, whether it be KJ Osborne or Kendrick Bourne. Even though Kendrick Bourne coming off the ACL, I think he's a more explosive player. I think I'm gonna take Kendrick Bourne here. Yeah, Kendrick Bourne being more of a downfield player is what's gonna put me onto him. And the hope is that he can be healthy. Was Bourne good last year? He had to have been, right? No, Kendrick Bourne sucked. Oh, Jesus. Negative 0.3 EPA per target, despite 7 targets a game. 26% target per out run rate. Oh, he was terrible on deep balls. That's why. He got one deep target a game for a negative 0.8 EPA. So that's not good. So, but Drake May will hopefully be better for him. I think that's the assumption. Yeah, there we go. Bourne, question mark. I assume Tyler very excited to see Kendrick Bourne getting picked. That's what I'm going to go with. Kendrick Bourne, though, the risk for him is that they take A.D. Mitchell. They take, in particular, I think Troy Franklin, who has visited New England, along with Buffalo. Of course, I think he's going to Buffalo, but New England can take him too. So somebody who could be a good rookie coming in could immediately displace Kendrick Bourne. And that's not good. So it'll be an Oliver McCarthy. Oh, there we go. That's a nice little correlation there. I think McCarthy's still alive to go to Minnesota. All right. So the team here, a 3-7-7-3, an extreme zero RB team. We got Brock Purdy, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Aaron Jones, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, Jerome Ford, Marshawn Lloyd, Keaton Mitchell, and Tank Bigsby running backs. We tried to make it up in volume here because we did not spend good draft capital at running back, but you guys know if you're doing extreme zero RB, it's going to happen. Wide receiver, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel. So we have the Niners double stack, Keenan Allen, the single stack with Caleb Williams, George Pickens, Jordan Addison, and Kendrick Bourne to go with our Drake May bet. Hunter Henry as well to go with our Drake May bet. Mike Gesicki, Ben Sinnott. Could have gone a fourth tight end. Does Josh Oliver make this team that much better? I didn't think so. That's why I didn't do it. Noah Fant, though, would have been a good one. So that's it. And Fantasy Dog says Bourne's a great pick. So there we go. And unironically drafted Oliver as your tight end 3 plenty. Okay. There we go. So nice picks. Oliver, I would say Tyler's guy, Colby Parkinson. These are guys in round 20 that I think aren't getting drafted at all, make you more unique. And honestly, could have made the case. I should have gone with them today. I've done plugs very well today. So first plug here, number one underdog, double your deposit to $100 on there right now. Show some love on there, please. If you're a new sign up, use that promo code. Same as anyone you're going to get out there. But your support does go a long way. If you're showing underdog that we're doing the thing here, converting people. Hit the subscribe button. New shows Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. every day, of course. Doing my thing as best I can. We're going to spin the wheel in a moment, too. I've not forgotten that, but I'm just going to get the plugs out of the way. So please subscribe. And of course, I value my community. That's why we do the guest hosting things. Obviously, I get something back out of that with 5 stars and review for probably. But check the pinned comments as well if you want to be a guest host on the show. 5 stars and review. And of course, probably will change your life in betting, MLB bets, MMA, basketball, of course, when NBA heading into the play-in rounds. Lots of good bets still on probably. We also added sportsbook filtering. So if you're in Florida, you can only look at bets from Hard Rock if you want. If you only have money in your Caesars account, you can only look at bets from Caesars. So that is a thing that I think goes against, in general, what I think betting should be. We're just looking at odds and trying to make sure your bets are priced closely enough to that. But if you want to make it simple for yourself to get plus EV bets, you now can do that. Probably.com/subscribe, promo code SPLASH on there or in the pinned comments with the 7-day free trial. And Stochastic too, though, for whatever reason, nobody's signing up for Stochastic right now, but great time for MLB, competitive in the world of MLB. I was talking to Greg Ehrenberg about that. Lots of people putting in good lineups now, but so if you want to stay even with the field for MLB, Stochastic Sim is going to be a good thing for yourself. All right, let's spin the wheel here. So let me stop this screen. Let's share another one. Who will be the guest host for the month? And of course, you too could be interested to be a guest host here on Splash Play. 5 stars and a review on the App Store for probably. It'll be interesting to win to do that. But let's spin the wheel and make the deal. It'll be Mathology. It'll be Bindles. Adam. Robert Griffin the Turd. It's Adam. Oh, poor Bindles and Mathology. You're getting... Adam. Adam, I don't know what any of your handles are, and you're not a paying member, so DM me on Twitter or Instagram at Chris Spags. Adam will figure it out. But Adam, the goal is going to be to get him on, I would say, last Friday of the month again, or sometime that works for Adam. But that's what we do on Splash Play. I bravely just bring in people from the chat and hope that they'll do the best they can. And Chunk impressed the hell out of me when he did the stream. So hopefully Adam will bring his A game as well, represent Georgia, and not make any weird jokes. Makes me feel we're getting to Georgia here. But I'll be back tomorrow with another draft again, 11 a.m. every day, a new draft. So come join then. And guys, game responsibly in the meantime. And hey, do yourself a favor. While these last drafts are going on, try not to draft a chunky. That's all I can ever say. All right, see you guys tomorrow. Follow me at Chris Spags. Follow us at Splash Play Pod. New draft coming up tomorrow. See you guys then. Enjoy your days. Good luck. Bye.